Welcome to Aldano Peak Erskine Uniting Church this Sunday, the 16th of May, 2021. My name's Alan Finlay. I'm a member of our congregation, and today our minister, Ilung Kim, is away, and I'll be conducting our worship service in his stead. Later in the service, Lance will read the Bible and Kevin will bring us our prayers for others. In the church calendar, today is Easter 7. Last Thursday was Ascension Day, and next week will be Pentecost. I pray that you feel that you're actually with us as we worship together online today. And as our call to worship, let me read Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let us continue our worship in prayer. Almighty God, Lord of all, we come before you today, we come just as we are. We come to praise you, to worship you. We ask that you forgive our wrongdoing against you this week. We ask that you restore our spirit if it is broken, and we ask that you heal our bodies if they need mending. We come to renew our spirit, to restore our love for you, to restore our desire to serve you and go out and tell others about your love and your grace. We come for the fellowship of our friends with whom we can build up each other in faith. We come because we need you and we want to tell you that. We come because we want to tell you that learning about your love for us and accepting Jesus as your Son, our Lord, is the greatest thing that ever happened to us. We are glad that you want to have a relationship with us and that you sent your Son to restore that relationship. We come in awe and wonder and with grateful hearts. Amen. Let us keep worshipping and praising God by singing, humming or listening to the first song. Come, now is the time to worship.
Come, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Still the greatest treasure remains for those
pastor, a rabbi and an imam walk into a room and, oh, hang on, this is actually not the beginning of a joke. I spent part of this week at a chaplain's conference and this is what actually happened. For those watching on service, this service online and who don't know me in person, I'm a volunteer chaplain in New South Wales Ambulance. And these people from different monotheistic faiths spent time together this week and we prayed together. Today's message will be about prayer, obviously from a Christian point of view. Today's Bible reading from John 17 is one of Jesus' prayers and I think it may be the longest one of his that we have on record. From it, we can learn more about him and more about how we can pray.
Hello, my name is Lance. Today's reading is from John chapter 17, verses 4 to 23. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. And now they know everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Amen.
Last week I accompanied a paramedic to court. He had to give testimony relating to an incident he had attended for work. And as I said earlier, I'm a volunteer chaplain for ambulance. And I was asked to give support to him because it can be quite a bit of a difficult experience. Afterwards, the paramedic said to me, they wanted to know how soon after the event that I'd actually typed it up, the medical record, and gave a statement to the police. And I pointed out to him that the closer to the event an eyewitness writes it down, the better the testimony. Also, it refreshes your memory better when you read it later. Another aspect of testimony is the number of witnesses, and also when we look at the historical accuracy, the volume of exact or almost exact copies that survive, because they were copied by hand, not like photocopies or scans that we have nowadays. I'm fascinated by the history of the writing of the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. John probably wrote his account of the Gospel in the book of Revelation around about 90 to 95 Common Era, give or take a year. And you say that 60 years after the event, but he would have been talking about it ever since Pentecost. And look at the volume of copies that survive today. Have a look at this table from a book called Religion is for Fools by Bill Medley. Nobody disputes Julius Caesar's writings. The earliest copy of his manuscript is 1,000 years after it was written. And there are only 10 copies of that. But the New Testament has surviving parts of manuscripts from only 25 years after being written. And there are about 5,000 copies of manuscript in Greek, which is the original language it's written in. And this is a well-reported fragment found in the Rylands Library. Now, John tells us why he wrote the book of the Gospel, or Good News. John 20:31 states, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Now, when I read chapter 17 for today's message, a number of things stood out to me. And it may help that some translators of the Bible put headings that help us find things. The chapters 13 to 17, inclusive, are sometimes called the farewell discourses. And if you look through them, you'll see why. These are the events that lead up to Jesus' death and resurrection, starting with his washing the disciples' feet in chapter 13, predicting his betrayal, stating, "I am the way," warning the disciples they may be hated, promising them that they'll receive the Holy Spirit, promising that they'll receive, if they ask, the Father in his or Jesus' name, up to chapter 17, which is sometimes called the high priestly prayer. Why? Because he prays on our behalf. It's probably the longest prayer recorded in the Gospels. Now, this chapter is placed right before where Judas betrays him and he's arrested. And the translators have given us some quick headings to find things. One, Jesus prays for himself. Two, Jesus prays for his disciples. And three, Jesus prays for all believers, which I'll come back to. Now, I've preached before on praying, and probably because I feel it's one of my own weaknesses. I feel I have to work on it, especially in my chosen volunteer role. I still find it quite difficult to pray off the cuff, as it were. I'm happy to spend an hour of my time working on a 3-minute prayer, but I stumble over my thoughts and words when I have to pray impromptu. There's a traditional story that speaks glowingly of a prayer of an uneducated Jew who wanted to pray but he didn't speak Hebrew. And they can pray in any language that they are comfortable with, but it's supposedly better if they pray in Hebrew. Now the man began to recite the only Hebrew he knew, the alphabet. He recited over and over again until a rabbi asked what he was doing. The man told the rabbi, "The Holy One, blessed is he, knows what is in my heart. I'll give him the letters and he can put the words together." Obviously he didn't pray to Jesus as in this illustration. But Paul wrote in Romans 8, 26-27, "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." In the past I've talked about guides for prayers, lists. There's an obvious one. The Protestants call the Lord's Prayer and the Roman Catholics call it the Our Father. It's in Matthew 6, 7-13. Jesus says to his disciples, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And this is recited in practically all Christian churches. In the 1611 King James Version, the phrase, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, for ever, Amen," was added. Only seems to be a Protestant thing, the Roman Catholics don't say that. Last week, I also attended a paramedic-related funeral. It was in a Roman Catholic church, and having been caught out before, I managed to stop myself from adding the phrase, and we're reciting it in the church. There's a number of times in the Bible where you'll find prayers that end with what's called a doxology, a short hymn-like verse that praises the glory of God. That's what his final line in the Lord's Prayer is in the King James Version. It may have been borrowed from one of King David's exaltations of God in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, which says in part, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." But bear in mind, Jesus gave his prayer as a guide to the sorts of things to pray. Praise God and desire what he wants. Ask God for what you need. Forgive others as God has forgiven you, and pray that you don't give in to temptation. There's many examples of lists of things that you can pray. The 7-point prayer from the important aspects of prayer lists worship and adoration, praise of God's mighty deeds, expression of faith and trust in God, confession of sins, thanksgiving for all the good things we've received, requests for the needs of others and our own needs, and dedication to the service of others. There's the 5-finger prayer that we teach children, and various variations. You can find them on the internet. The thumb for those closest to you, your family. The index, that's the pointer finger, points you in the right direction, so we can pray for teachers, doctors, pastors. The middle finger, the tallest, those who lead, for instance, government, and ask God for guidance and wisdom for them. The ring finger is called the weak finger, and we pray for those who are weak, hungry, in pain, homeless, and the little pinky. We pray for ourselves and our own needs. Now let's come back to what Jesus prays in chapter 17. He prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for all believers. Jesus prays for himself. He prays that he has brought glory on God by doing what God wanted him to do, and now he asks to be glorified and to return to the state he was in at the beginning of time. He prays for his disciples. A much longer prayer than for himself. What stands out to me is that up to now Jesus has protected them, but now he's going away from them, he asks God to protect them. Importantly, he doesn't ask for them to be taken out of the world, which is the realm of the evil one, and full of physical dangers as well, but He prays that God will protect them from the evil one and from spiritual dangers. And he prays for all believers, those who believe through the disciples' message. He prays for you and me. And what does he pray for us? He prays that we may be brought to complete unity. Now, over the centuries, people who believe in Jesus being the Son of God and our Redeemer have come to many doctrinal disputes. But I find the mixture of Christian denominations that I spent time with amongst Christian chaplains from many backgrounds, I'm heartened to see that we're much more common beliefs now than my experiences of, say, 50 years ago. Unfortunately, there are still many groups of people in the world, and many are quite vocal and militant, and people who spread prosperity gospel. They call themselves Christians, but unfortunately, they do not try and act like Christ. This, of course, makes it very difficult to bring people to Christ. As Mohandas Gandhi said, "I like your Christ, but not your Christianity." A final point I would like to make is that John writes that Jesus prayed these things shortly before his arrest. We know from the other Gospels how tormented Jesus was by what was to come and how earnestly he prayed to his Father. But in this particular prayer, the smallest part of the prayer was for himself. The largest part of the prayer was for God to protect those nearest to him from the evil one. He prayed for them to be sanctified, which means to be made for sacred use or to be made holy. Jesus was now praying for those who he had been preparing to do his mission. And he was praying for unity among his followers who were to come, us. I really simplified this today. You could study a lot more in this passage. But I just wonder, when you are going through really trying and painful times, do you remember to pray? Do you pray for yourself? Or do you pray for God to be glorified and for your loved ones to be kept safe? And it's not an either or. You can pray for each of these like Jesus did. It's just something to think about. Amen.
Hello, my name is Kevin, and I'll be bringing you the prayers for others today. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who loves every one of us, and that we can freely bring our prayers to you with the knowledge that you will hear them and answer them. We thank you for the many blessings that we receive from you in both the good times and the bad. We thank you for your sacrificial love. We acknowledge that we are sinners, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit who stands beside us and guides us and comforts us as we face life on earth, with its many challenges, temptations, and its ups and downs. As the pandemic is still affecting many people around the world, we again ask that you provide guidance and wisdom to those people in positions of leadership and power to make decisions that are in the best interests of all their people. We particularly pray for the situation in India and ask that you touch the hearts of leaders and people around the world to reach out with aid to help control the pandemic in that country. We thank you for the many, many people, both from within your church and the general community, who are stepping up at great risk to themselves to help others and to help deal with the pandemic and its impacts. We ask that you continue to protect and bless them. With many natural disasters still occurring around the world, we also ask that you continue to be a power and strength that people can draw on at these times. We also pray that you guide your church in how best it can show and extend your love in these devastating circumstances. We thank you for the answers to prayer for the drought-breaking rain. Lord, your created world is beautiful, wonderful and abundant, but sometimes it can be a bit overabundant. So we ask that you now grant wisdom and power to our rural communities to be able to deal with the current mouse plague that has followed the rain, followed in a humane manner. In gratitude, we pray for Reverend Ilung and his family. We ask that you protect and bless him and his family and grant him strength and wisdom to lead our church. We thank you for raising up the willing and dedicated members of the Lugano Precursor United Church Council. We continue to pray for your guidance and wisdom for them as they work to lead the congregation in fulfilling your plans for your church in this community. We thank you for Natalie and for raising up the willing and dedicated members of the congregation to lead and support our outreach ministries like Mainly Music and Messy Church, and ask that you grant the leaders inspiration and creativity to spread your word and love to the community. We also pray for the many members of the congregation who individually or collectively use their talents and gifts to serve you and us and to keep the church and its ministers functioning and to prepare and present our worship services both live and online. Lord, we pray for your protection over the Scripture Board's SRE teachers as they continue face-to-face classes in Term 2 at Peakhurst High. We pray that you will empower them to touch the minds and hearts of the students. We thank you for the provision of the resources, both people and financial, that enable this ministry to operate. We ask that you provide wisdom and love to the members of the board that lead this ministry as they move forward. For those in our church community who are suffering for any reason, be it mental, spiritual, physical, emotional or financial, we ask that you reach out to them with your comfort and strength, and we thank you for the blessings of the church's pastoral care team leaders. We pray that you will be with the family of Ruth Ponaya, who passed away last Wednesday. Please provide comfort and support as they grieve her loss. We thank you for the answer to prayers for Joan and her operation last Wednesday. Went well, and now pray for a full recovery. In conclusion, Lord, we pray that through your word, the help of the Holy Spirit and our Christian fellowship, you will strengthen our faith and turn that faith into deeds so that we can spread your word and love to those around us. We pray these prayers through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I just have a couple of announcements to make. Our next message church is next Sunday on the 23rd of May at 4 p.m. The main theme of our message church is God is all we need. And in May message church especially, we are going to talk about the help of God when we face any challenges or difficulties in our life. There will be lots of fun activities and there will also be yummy food. If you have kids or grandkids or in your family, or if you know a friend who has a child or grandchild, why don't you tell them and invite them to our Mercy Church to experience the fun of an all-age, all-family activity followed by a meal. For more information, contact us via email at messychurch@lpuc.org.au or phone 9153 8653. You can attend our Sunday service at 10:15 by registering with Beryl Boole via phone or email, showing on the screen now. Phone 0405 686 109 or 9759 4201. Or you can email beryl.boole01@gmail.com. And also, everyone needs to follow the current COVID-19 safety action requirements of the church. And now the blessing. As you go into the coming week, may you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and may your prayer life and your relationship with him become deeper every day as he protects you and keeps you. Amen. I hope you have a very blessed week and see you next Sunday.
Got no worries, got no woes, feeling happy, that's me.